Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Morning, Las Vegas. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in this morning to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. I'll tell you what, I'm glad to live in Las Vegas, and we certainly need to continue to pray for all of those in North and South Carolina and those who are going to continue to be affected by the hurricane and all of the rain and the flooding and everything else. Just a devastating time of life for those that are going through it. There hasn't been a hurricane through there for quite a while like this one. And so we just want to just keep praying that there will be a good response, and a good cleanup, and power will get turned back on quickly, and just all the amazing things that people can do when they put their minds to it, when they work together, and everything else. And, you know, in Hebrews chapter 12, where we've been, last week we started talking about the fact that since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I mean, it's so important for us to realize that. I was talking to someone the other day, and I mentioned something about lordship salvation. And they wanted to know what that was. And I said, well, it's a topic. It's not something that the Bible really says specifically, but it's the idea that if Jesus is our Lord and He's the one that's brought about this amazing salvation that we have, then shouldn't we live for Him? Shouldn't we strive to, instead of leading sinful lives, that we should strive to live godly lives? I saw a quote from something the other day. I actually put it on my wall. It says, if the law made sin exceedingly sinful, the greatness of salvation in Christ Jesus has made it altogether intolerable. Okay, so we shouldn't look at sin as, oh, well, you know, I'm just a human and I just have to sin and it's just inevitable and I'm just going to do it. And so, no, we need to recognize that Jesus is our Lord, that we are no longer bound. Remember last week we read Romans chapter 6, and just to be reminded of that again, in the same way we are to count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. We live in a world that is so full of sin and wickedness and ungodliness and just some of the most degrading, disgusting, wicked things that you can imagine. And those are just the things that we can know about, let alone all the things that don't get talked about and don't get reported. Okay, it's why in Titus chapter 3, where he says at one time, Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Did you catch that? I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. You can't expect the world to devote themselves to doing good. They're interested in their passions and pleasures, just like we used to at one time. Now, can the world still do good things? Well, of course they can. But here's the thing, is that we are carefully devoting ourselves to doing what is good. Back in chapter 2 in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." So, you know, if we call ourselves Christians and then we're not eager to do good, or we are not devoting ourselves to doing good, if we're not striving to live a life of purity rather than a life of ungodliness and wickedness, then how can we really call ourselves Christians? How can we really say that we've been saved by the grace of God if we just treat the grace of God as something that we can just go right on sinning and God's grace will just cover it? And God understands that his son had to pay his life on the cross for our sin. And that's why we should hate it. That's why it should be intolerable to us. That's why we should make every effort to make sure that we throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let me remind you of a few other verses, and these are from other passages in the New Testament. James chapter 3. Remember when we went through the letter from James in chapter 3 and verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Okay, so James is trying to get God's people to understand that, hey, if you really want to be wise and understanding, you can't just claim the name of Christ. You have to show it by your good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The wisdom from below? No, the wisdom that comes from above. Verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Sounds much better than following that which is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And Christians, remember, we've been bought with a price. We're to honor God with our body. We're to honor God with our body. We're to say no to the world. And so he says, well, that's really hard, and it's just so alluring, and it's just, there's just so many things about the world that look really cool and sound good and feel good and whatever else. Yeah, passingly, just for a temporary moment, but then all of those things ultimately lose their appeal, and they lose their excitement, and they lose their, and you just have to keep more and more and more. It's kind of like a drug addiction. You got to keep doing more and more and stronger doses to get the high that you experienced at first. And that's why, don't even touch the stupid things. Leave them alone. Say no to drugs. All right. And somebody says, well, you know, that's easier said than done. You're right. It's much easier to say something. It's a whole lot of, it's a lot more difficult to prove it, isn't it? And so here's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He said, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles or aliens to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Nobody says it was easy. Nobody said that there would never be any temptations. Nobody said there would never be any trials in the Christian life. But Peter, writing as an apostle, says, listen, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires. In other words, we got to say no. We've got to take every thought captive. We've got to take every temptation captive. We want to do that for the glory of God. And we need to consider it, think about it, and not just, oh, well, it's no big deal. Okay? Abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And in verse 13, he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Okay? That's what Peter is saying in just this one short passage, okay? We need to war against those sinful desires that wage against our souls. We need to strive to not allow the world to conform us to its way of life, but instead we need to live as those who do good. It's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Okay, now here's the thing about it. There's lots of warnings in the Bible, and they're there for a reason. They're there because if we're not careful and we don't heed the warnings, then we can get caught up and entangled in everything that entangles, in the sin that so easily entangles, and all kinds of hindrances and things that keep us from living the kind of life that God wants us to. Friends, it's something we've got to choose to do every day. Every day we've got to choose to do good. We've got to choose to live for God. We've got to take every thought captive. And yet, here's the thing. People, there's hope. Okay, because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given us his Holy Spirit to help us overcome the misdeeds of the flesh. He's given us the power and the ability to say no. Now, God's not going to make us say no. I've heard people tell me, well, I thought God would just stop me before I did anything too bad. He's not going to do that. Okay? When you choose to do right, he's going to strengthen your heart to do right. He's going to strengthen you with power to continue to do right, to continue to do what's right. If you choose to do evil and you just dive in and headlong and you don't care and nobody's going to tell you what to do, well, then he'll strengthen you in that too, and he'll allow you to do it your way. And boy, but the consequences of that are going to be absolutely painful. And so, friends, I just want to encourage you to let you know that there is a way back. And even the parable of the prodigal son, okay, who wanted his father's inheritance so he could go out and spend it. And he did on wild living, it says. And who knows what all was involved in that. But he went out and sowed his wild oats. And then finally, he came to his senses. He came to his senses and he realized, man, I am just living stupid here. And man, my father's servants have it better than I have. And what was I thinking? And what a mess I've gotten into myself into. And I need to go back to my father and just bow before him and say, I'm not even worthy to be your son anymore. But would you please take me back as a servant? And so he did. And of course, there in Luke chapter 12, you can read about that. But what a great blessing to recognize and realize that there is hope for those who have strayed and who choose to come back. So in Luke chapter 15, you can read about the parable of the lost son, of the prodigal son. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is by Barlow Girl, and it's called She Walked Away. This is kind of what we're talking about, is that we have a choice to choose life or death, and so choose life. And those of you that have wandered away, those of you that have never acknowledged God, and you've lived a sinful life, and now you're starting to feel the consequences of sin and of guilt and shame and everything else, hey, you know what? It's time to come home. It's time to come home and start seeking God, start seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, start seeking a different way of life, a life that results in everlasting life and not in death. All right? Let's listen to Barlow Girl sing She Walked Away.
She couldn't take one more day. Home was more prison now. Independence called out. She had to get it. A fight was all she needed to give a reason. She slammed the door with no goodbye and knew that it was time. And now she's driving too fast. She didn't care to glance behind. And through her tears she laughed. It's time to kiss the past goodbye. I'm finally on my own. Don't try to tell me no. There's so much more for me. Just watch what I will be.
Celebrate. Luke 15, 20 and 24.
All right, we're back this morning, and as we go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, we've been discussing, talking about throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And, you know, there are so many more warnings for us in the Scriptures, warnings from our Creator, from our King, from our Redeemer, about don't live this way. You know those books that they have about, oh, eating or drinks or all these things? It's called Eat This, Not That, or Drink This, Not That. Well, this is kind of the idea that in the Scriptures, God tells us, don't do things that are going to be harmful to you. And he tells you what those things are. And then he says, do the things that are a blessing for you and for those around you. Because you see, when we don't do the right thing, it not only affects us, but it affects other people around us. And so we need to be a people, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we need to be a people that throws off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. All right, so he goes on then and says, and, you know, it's not just throwing off. It's not just getting entangled in sin. It's not just about don't. Christianity is far more about doing. And the more that we will spend our time and our efforts and our energies and everything else pursuing God, doing what's right, we're not going to have time to do the things that aren't right as much. And so let's throw it off. And then it says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's not just about don't do this. It's let's run. Let's live. Let's live out the fullest. Let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let's not be quitters. Let's not say, oh, this is just too hard to live for Jesus. Sure, it has its challenges. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. He's always looking for an opportunity to tempt us. He's always looking for some way to trip us up. And so we need to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Not the way of the world, the race marked out for us. Remember Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, okay? For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. That's why we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why we need to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It's not a race that we can decide the rules of or the course. It's a race that has been marked out for us by our Lord and Savior, and we need to walk in it. We need to run in it and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It says in verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'll tell you what, it's so easy sometimes to grow weary and lose heart. But when that starts to happen, we need to say, now, wait a minute. I need to do something different than start feeling like this. Because that's all those things are, feelings. I need to get my eyes fixed on Jesus. I need to realize that, hey, I have a calling and election that I need to make sure. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In other words, we can live the way God wants us to live now that we've come out from all that muck and mire of sin. We can actually have the power to say no, where we used to just, oh, okay, and give in. But we can say no to worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this age. And so he says he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them we can participate in the will of God, in the blessings of the things God has given us. That's why it says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Friends, we can't just say, okay, I'm saved. I'm cleansed of my sins. I was baptized into Christ. He raised me up to walk in newness of life. I'm good. You know, I've got a one-way ticket to heaven. No, friends, that's the beginning of our life in Christ. Now we're called to make every effort to add to our faith and continue to walk in these things and to possess these qualities in increasing measure so that we won't become ineffective and unproductive in our Lord Jesus Christ. And frankly, if you forget those things and go back to being entangled and entrapped and encumbered by all the things of the world, then you're nearsighted and blind and you've forgotten you've been cleansed from your past sins. Shame on any of us if we start to do that. But there's no reason for it. Okay? Here's the beauty of following God. Not only does he give us warnings, but he tells us how not to get there. Okay? He's given us his very great and precious promises that we can stand on, that we can live by, that we can participate in the will of God. But we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to make sure we know the will of God. So many people don't even know what the will of God is. Some people don't even think they can know the will of God. Well, not everything is written out for us, but boy, the things that are listed out for us are right there. And so let's listen to the warnings and let's do what he says. Verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, or to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? There's a big difference between going up to somebody's door and, yeah, who are you? And, you know, do I know you? And they don't even want to invite you and they want to shut the door on you. How much nicer it is to go to somebody's house that you know, a good friend, and you open the door and, hey, it's good to see you. Come on in. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to receive a rich welcome from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But so much of that depends on whether or not I choose to continue to walk by faith or walk by sight in this life that we live. And so I want to encourage you, don't be a prodigal son. Come back to the Lord. And if you're already there, don't ever walk away. Okay? All right. Hey, we're the Church of Las Vegas again. We'd love to meet you, to greet you, to answer your questions, to live life together as we go through this life, to encourage one another. And so come on down on Sunday morning at 10:30. At 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And again, Sunday morning at 10:30. Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. We're going through Exodus right now. And on Wednesday night, we meet at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer. We're going through the letter to the Philippians on Wednesday. So we want to encourage you to come out for any and all of those. And thank you so much for listening to us. Again, we just appreciate your prayers and your comments. It always encourages me when people say, hey, good job, or you know, I really like that song, or I really like this. That's a great blessing for me to listen to as well. So thanks so much for listening. And until we get together next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.